Good morning, afternoon, or evening to my Wisdom of Wellbeing Wombats. This is Wellbeing in Your Wallet, an ongoing financially themed social experiment that continues to shock and amaze both our listeners and us, your hosts. Thanks for tuning in. We have some fun banter for you on today's topic, but before we jump in, let me introduce myself. I'm Grant Gallagher, Head of Wellbeing here at Affinity Federal Credit Union, and once again joining me is my co-wombat in wellbeing, a man who has bought 3 timeshares, 2 bridges, and is at the top of 1 pyramid scheme, all from social media influencers. It's Sean Lubitz. Sean, say hi to the folks.
Hello, everybody. It never gets old, Grant. The intros are getting better and better, I'm not going to lie. For anybody that's new tuning into the podcast, my name is Sean Lubitz. I'm the Vice President of Retail Branches here at Affinity Federal Credit Union. Looking forward to chatting with my co-partner here, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Sean. Well, let's jump right into today's icebreaker. Have you made a purchase that you later regretted because you saw somebody else doing it or because it was trending or trendy?
Of course, right? Everybody has. Me and my best friend, we joke. There's the, I don't know if it's the memes or what, TikTok videos, yeah, whatever it might be, about, you know, if you're going broke, you're taking your best friend with you kind of thing. Like, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it together. So we constantly joke about that, but we've gone to different concert events together that probably we did not have to go to, but he was going. I'm like, absolutely, I'll go do that.
Sean, I'm glad you made it back safe and sound from Firefest.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a little too old for Firefest now at this point, but he also very big into riding dirt bikes. Yeah. Why not get a dirt bike, right? Why not try that out? So those were some things that I've made the purchase and didn't necessarily regret after the fact, but probably didn't make the most financial sense for me in the moment. But like I said, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
You want to go and hang out and you want to be a part of the party.
Yeah, I remember last year there was the pink sauce trending everywhere on social media, and I was like this close to buying it, but then I'm like, wait a second, like this just doesn't. I mean, one, it was like kind of expensive for what it was, and then two, I'm like, this doesn't seem quite right. And then of course, like a month later, all the fallout of just like doesn't refrigerate, it doesn't have the right things, the nutrition facts are all on. I'm like, okay, I avoided that one. But I would say my big one. I think I've mentioned on previous podcasts that I'm into the gaming scene and I like my games, and a lot of them will do pre-launch media blitzes. They'll get the hype train going. They'll get everything out there, and I'll usually pre-order the game based off of these basic initial promises of a fantastic game and experience. And there's definitely been more than one that I've actually gotten it. I'm like, yeah, this was a mistake. I should have waited until launch and the reviews came out, because this was not what they promised.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you see it and you see the shiny thing and you're like, I need to jump into it. But, yep. I think that gives us a nice transition to obviously talk about we're discussing financial FOMO today. What it is, who it impacts, and what you can do to avoid making those poor financial decisions just because everyone else is doing it. And I'm putting air quotes around everyone else is doing it, like you can see me. But understanding how to avoid falling for this common psychologically driven behavior will help keep you from overspending on junk. It'll help you keep staying on track with your budget. It'll help you stay focused on achieving your financial dreams, because let's be honest, is any of the stuff you're buying, those little impulsive things, really making you happy? Probably not. But hitting a milestone on something that you really care about and you've thought, sat down, put pen to paper and really mapped out, that'll probably bring you some joy. So we're here to talk a little bit about that, help give you some guidance, and hopefully tell you our horror stories along the way. So Sean, kicking it over to you, what is FOMO? Can you tell us what that is?
Sure. Yeah. For me, it's pretty self-explanatory with the fear of missing out, right? You think, something amazing is going to happen if you don't go to that event, or if you don't purchase that item that all of your friends have.
Yeah.
You think there's going to be some glamorous event that happens, or conversation even, that's going to happen around it, and you can't speak in that conversation because you don't own it. you just feel like, again, you're not part of the party. You want to be able to be in the conversation. You want to be at the event when the thing happens, whatever that might be.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'll say this, you build it up in your head to be something way more than it typically is. So to your point, you're going out and you're buying these things, but again, you realize quickly that you didn't need it and you really weren't missing out on anything.
Yeah. And those cycles happen so quickly too. Like the most recent example I can really think of is the Stanley Cups. Like I don't really get it. I don't, you know, I've seen them in the stores and I'm like, oh, that's a nice looking mug. It's like, I don't know, like $40 or something like that. And I'm like, yeah, my, you know, $10 insulated mug that I think I got off of Amazon that's no name works perfectly fine. Like, I don't understand why people are getting all excited about water cups, but there's like whole communities of people that are collecting them and excited about it and doing events for it. So, you know, but, yeah, but you know, you gotta be in it.
Totally agree. It's strange. And the fads go by so much quicker now, I feel like, than they used to. So that fear of missing out is something that you have. And then 2-3 months down the road, if not sooner, there's going to be something else, right? That you feel like you need to do this, or you're going to be missing out on the next big thing. So it is very real. And I think some people are very good at controlling themselves and kind of curbing their fear, if you will.
Sure.
And others, you want to be in it somehow, some way, some shape or form to, again, be a part of the conversation or be at the event or, you know, just make sure you're not missing.
Yeah. And I mean, the reality is there's always going to be a financial component to it too. Like most of these things, it's very rare to find something that's free or low cost. That's, you know, trendy and exciting. So there's some, you're opening your wallet for something, right? And it seems like because millennials, Gen Z, they kind of grew up with social media, you know, we're even more susceptible to it than older generations. I hope maybe the younger generations are kind of catching on because they, you know, they see it from the very beginning. But you know, how do you see that connection between FOMO and financial decisions and what that impact can really be?
Yeah, I do think technology does make it worse now, right? So even the fact that we just mentioned Stanley Cups, I'm sure I'm going to have ads on my phone. There'll be videos playing. It'll be on Facebook Marketplace. It'll be all over the place. So even when these things come up or these ideas come up, all of a sudden you're going to start seeing it more and more. And it might be subconsciously, you're not even realizing that you're seeing more of it. But you are, I would guarantee it. It makes it tough again, because a lot of these things cost money.
Yeah.
Right. So when we talk about budgeting and, you know, everything adds up quickly. So it might be even $10 here, $20 there. If you're doing that multiple times throughout the month, it's going to add up pretty significantly. And then we've talked about it on previous podcasts. When you look at that from an annual standpoint, it would probably blow you away how much you're spending to make sure you're in the know or you're at the event, versus what you're really getting out of it.
Yeah. And I think the social media aspect of it makes it even worse, because it's that like constant reminder of what you are missing out on, and it kind of drives that impulsive behavior. And again, you know, not to blame social media as the bane of my existence and the source of all my problems, but you know, again, comparison is the thief of joy, and that's where so many people kind of go and see their friends doing fun, exciting stuff, and you know, they get the snapshot of the highlights, but they don't know about the credit card statement at the end of the month. Yeah. They don't know that debt that's attached to it. So it's like, you only see the upside. You only see what you're missing out on, not that you're missing out on the debt and the payments and all that stuff.
It's tough because that's, it's easy to say, and I'm a big proponent, and we've even talked about like live in the moment, right? Yeah. Be in the moment. Tomorrow is never promised to you. So like enjoy today, but it really is balancing, right? Because your actions today are really going to affect you down the road. So if you're in everything in your 20s and you're going into debt, but you're at all the events and you're living the best life, when you're in your 40s and all of your friends are going on vacations together with their families and they're doing all these things and you can't afford it because you're still paying off the debt from your 20s,
yeah,
it will catch up to you. So it really is just making sure you're balancing it. Pick and choose your battles.
Right.
Right. You should FOMO into things sometimes. It's not a bad thing, right? But you just want to make sure that you're being responsible with your funds and your money, because again, it truly is a cause of a lot of stress,
yeah,
across the board with different individuals. So making sure that you're taking care of yourself first versus trying to keep up with everybody else is always going to be important.
Right. No, and that's a great point, because you know, if you are able to just kind of avoid the FOMO feeling, you know, the anxiety, you're potentially feeling left out because you're not in those popular things that are going on. It's going to make you feel bad. You know, it's unfortunately like your psychological reaction, where if you're really logical about it, if you're taking kind of the step back and taking the critical view on it, you're realizing like, hey, this is just a temporary minor blip that I'm skipping out on this. And it doesn't have to be an all or nothing conversation. Like you said, like there are some times you're jumping in. You're like, this is cool. This aligns with things that matter to me. I'm in it. But I think accepting that's, you can't do it all the time for every single thing, is going to help you make those better financial decisions, right?
And you're the, I will always say you're the king of budgeting and making sure that, you know, things are accounted for and we're not overspending and you have a plan, right, for the future. Right.
Yep.
So with that said, I'll ask you, how can setting those clear personal financial goals help kind of avoid that impulse to spend money to avoid FOMO?
Well, it gives you guardrails, right? It gives you an excuse to say no. If you know, all your money is just in one big pot and you don't have any discretionary spending set aside, you'll always find an excuse or a reason as to why you can afford to spend on this thing that doesn't really matter. But if you have kind of a clear budget and clear goals that you're working towards, you can kind of take that objective look at it and say, well, hey, I really want to go on vacation this summer. Does going to this concert, this one time, really matter by comparison? Or, you know, does that fit within my budget? Maybe yes, maybe no. Maybe it does matter to you. But having those goals set and having it kind of clearly fit into your financial picture or potentially not fit helps give you kind of a better way to manage the psychological aspect of it. Because, you know, you're going to feel bad if you're left out, but you can also potentially feel bad if you're then choosing to do that instead of working towards your financial goals. So it's a little bit of way of hacking your own brain.
Yep. I like it. And we talked about social media a little bit, right? Do you have any strategies to effectively kind of, again, curb the influence that social media has on that spending or on the, you know, building up the FOMO for different things?
Yeah. I mean, it really all comes back to budgeting and doing your research, because I'll be honest, like 99.9% of the things that I've seen that look really cool on social media, the second I like go and actually try to find like some reviews or more information about what it is, I'm like, oh, like they highlighted like the 1% cool aspect of this and the rest of it is just kind of like nonsense and junk. So, you know, as long as you're not impulsive about spending on the things that you see on social media, you'll usually find yourself in a better place. But again, it's having, if that is something that you do find yourself wanting to do and spend on and spend on things that are popular in the social media space, you got to have a budget for it. You got to have some sort of discretionary bucket of money to say, you know, I can spend, you know, $50 a month on X, Y, or Z. That's what matters. It's really that being defined and clearly knowing what you're getting yourself into, because that's, yep, it's the unknown that'll get you in trouble, right?
Yep. Totally agree.
So kicking it back over to you, you know, what are some of those long-term financial implications? I know you had mentioned this a little bit where it's kind of death by a thousand cuts, but yep. You know, what are the implications of those FOMO financial decisions that you're making? And how can you kind of recognize what those impacts are to help prevent that impulsive spending?
Yeah, I think, I think this is probably the hardest thing for people to do, right? Because again, we want to live in the moment. Yep. But having the guardrails, like you said, right? Having a budget, giving yourself some freedom though to spend money.
Yep.
Make a stupid purchase. That's okay. Like it happens, but you know that within those guardrails, it's not going to affect you long term, right? You might have bought something like, that was stupid. Shouldn't have done that. Yep. But
learn from
it. It is what it is, right? It's not going to hurt me forever. It is what it is. But again, having the guardrails, creating a plan and budgeting, take care of yourself first, right? From a savings standpoint, make sure you have the, the appropriate amount of savings in your account, just in case, something that comes up as an emergency. Like we've talked about, like hot water heaters breaking and things. Those things are going to happen. A car repair.
Yeah.
You don't want to FOMO into so many things without that emergency fund, because it will always happen, right? When you're living your best life, you're going to the concerts, you're spending the money, your car will break down. You will get a flat tire that'll cost you $400. It just seems that it's inevitable that things like that happen. So again, making sure that you're taking care of yourself first, it is always important. Again, I'm very big on just retirement. So especially the younger you are, even if it's a small amount that you're putting away, whether it be through an employer-sponsored 401k or an IRA, that will pay you back, tenfold in retirement. So
yeah,
it's just making sure, again, put the guardrails up there. It's okay to spend money. It's okay to have fun, but just don't overextend yourself, because it absolutely will, or potentially could, have a pretty negative impact on you in the future.
Yeah. And I think it's important to just recognize it for what it is. I mean, everybody once in a while, they fall victim to some impulsive spending, and just, something seems fun or interesting in the moment and you just get caught up in it. But that FOMO spending, that impulsive spending, is really kind of the antithesis of well-informed financial decision-making. So, you almost kind of want to have the, angel and devil on your shoulder, with the angel reminding you, hey, that emergency fund, hey, retirement, hey, you're saving up for that vacation, right? Hey, you got a wedding coming up. You got to pay for that too. So it's like, it's really important that you just make sure that you're thinking about your whole financial picture when you're making these decisions, going back to some of our previous conversations, it's like, is it a meaningful use of your money? We all have a finite budget. We have a finite amount of money. Is this something that is going to bring you any joy? I mean, maybe, but you got to think about it.
And I think, again, especially when we're talking about the bigger the purchase, the more you want to think about it, right? Yeah. Like sleep on it. Make sure it's something that you really feel that it warrants the spending of that money, right? You work very hard for the money. So you want to make sure that the value is there for what you're going to be putting out. I think where a lot of people get caught up to, myself included, is you get that deal that is too good to pass up, but it ends in an hour.
Within
the next hour, you get 25% off. It tries to, again, make you feel like you're going to miss out on something. If you don't take advantage of this deal now, you're never going to get that item.
Yep.
Just be aware in those situations. Try to take a second, think about it, ask yourself some questions as far as the value, and is it worth it? Does it fit within your budget and the guardrails you've put up? And if it does, take advantage of that deal, right? It's a great thing. If it doesn't, it really, it needs to be the tough decision to say, hey, it's just not for me right now. Even if it goes up in price, we'll see what happens in the future.
Yeah. I will tell you that the most junkiest of the junk online that you can buy is always on sale, and it always has a ticking down clock, and it always has a coupon that's expiring at the end of today. Like de facto, that is what you will find. So it's like, and then miraculously somehow the coupon is renewed for tomorrow, and somehow that clock has reset, so it's like, take a day and think about it. Don't, it like you said before, Sean, it adds up. And
yes,
when you spend too much of this stuff, you're stealing from future you that could have really made a big impact on an emergency fund, fixing their car, going on vacation. And that's, that's the stuff that really matters. Cause when you're thinking about it from an overall picture, if you have that financial plan in place that you can refer to and look back to and, compare against, you're resisting against FOMO a little bit. And, mm-hmm. My question to you would be like, what other tricks for your financial plan can you do to, kind of tailor to your level of FOMO spending or your lack thereof, to just help you continue to work towards those financial goals?
Yeah, I think it's again, setting goals that maybe aren't even financial, right? Like where do you want to be in 5 years? Where do you want to live? Maybe it's in your current town. Maybe it's in a city somewhere else. Do you have a serious relationship? Are you going to get married soon? Are you thinking about having kids in the future? All of these things, a new car even, right? My car is kind of falling apart. Within the next year or two, I'm probably gonna have to go out and purchase one. It's really just making sure you're looking ahead. What are those goals? And then back into the finances of what's going to be required to make sure that you are successful, that you are happy, and you do meet those goals that you've set for yourself. So again, I think it's not a bad idea, once or twice a year to really sit down, go through it with yourself. If you're married, have that conversation with your spouse.
Great point.
And make sure again that you're aligned to make sure that where you want to be, you are setting yourself up financially to be in a good situation when you get there.
Yeah. I mean, you know yourself best. You know what the appropriate level of speed bumps in place that you should set to prevent FOBO spending. But I mean, the one constant I will say is everybody should have some sort of financial goals, some sort of plan. You really should be working towards one of those goals at any given time, whether it's, something as small as being able to go out to eat at the end of the month, or maybe it is something that's, 5-10 years away. That stuff is really going to help drive a positive, healthy financial life. So definitely something you should look into if you don't have that. And we know some folks here at Affinity that can help you with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So it's about time to jump over to our member mailbag. So let me pull up my giant burlap sack here and open it up. While I'm doing that, I'd like to remind you that if you have a question or comment for a future member mailbag segment, you can send it to us at Affinity FCU on Facebook or @Twitter with the hashtag member mailbag. All right. So today's member mailbag is: every year I set a budget for my summer vacation, but I always end up either overspending or feeling like I missed out because I didn't want to stretch my finances too thin. This year I'm determined to stick to my budget, but I also want to make sure I enjoy my time off. Do you have any practical advice on how to plan a summer vacation that's both financially responsible and enjoyable? So Sean, what's your advice?
Yeah, this is a fun one. My wife always jokes that I can be frugal with money until we go on vacation, right? Vacation Sean is a different Sean than the everyday Sean. So
I want to check out Vacation Sean.
Yeah, people like Vacation Sean. But I totally agree. When you're on vacation, you don't want to stress about money. You want to be able to do all the things, right? You want to be able to experience it all and not have to worry about the amount of money that you're spending.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for me, I know we've done a podcast on this previously, but the biggest thing for me is really just planning as much as possible in advance.
Yep.
So if you are, looking at certain hotels, make sure you're getting the best deal on that hotel. See if there's other hotels in the area. If it's, food and restaurants, make sure that you're kind of planning as much of that vacation as possible. It'll give you a better idea of that budget. And then build in, again, which it sounds like, build in some of that fun money, some of that stuff that's just going to be kind of on the whim. You're at the boardwalk, you're at wherever it might be, and you're buying something for the kids or your spouse or yourself. I would just say pre-planning as much as possible is key. And then don't take me with you as we talk about FOMO, because I would do the same thing. We would be bad for each other.
Yeah. I mean, I think my question to this writer would mainly be, how are they overspending? You know, what is the category that their overspending primarily falls into? Because is this a case of poor planning, or is it a case of impulsiveness on the trip? You know, one of the things that I recently saw, there's a bank rate study out there. By the way, there's some incoming statistics.
I like it.
And it was actually that 1 in 3 American travelers plan to go into debt to pay for their vacation this year, you know, which means that a couple things to unpack there. They recognize that they're already planning to overspend beyond what they've had saved up. So, you know, a little bit startling and a little bit alarming. I mean, if this is something, if this is like the one break and the one splurge for your year and you're willing to take on debt, that's a decision, you know, you need to make. But it's good that you're planning to do it and going into it with eyes open. But on the flip side, if this is just kind of impulsive spending and you're not potentially going to get a lot out of it, then that's, you know, that's a little bit more concerning. That's something a little bit harder to combat and a little bit more of where you have to take that more strict planning approach and make sure that everything is covered. You know, we've had conversations about vacation budgeting in the past, and there are lots of things that people forget about, you know, tolls, tips, you know, all sorts of things that they kind of miss the little details and nuances. And if that's the stuff that's pushing you over, do a better job, do more homework, do more research.
It's funny too. One thing that does work for me, I found that works for me a little bit, is take some cash with you, right? Yeah. It's very easy to swipe your card and lose control or lose kind of the wherewithal of how much you're spending, right? I know my middle daughter thinks money just comes from the ATM.
Yeah.
That's just where it comes from. You can go there anytime. You can take out as much as you want. No big deal. That's where you just go and get money. It's very easy to just swipe your card, wake up the next day and look at your account and be like, I did not think I spent all that money. When you take out some cash and carry that with you, it makes it a little bit more real. Or that's what I've found, right? If you have $100 in your pocket and you go to a restaurant and you spend 60 and you have 40 left and you're walking around and you want to buy some different items, it makes you think a little bit more about, I only have $40. Do I really need this?
It gives you that guardrail. Yeah.
Yep.
And from that same study, 62% were planning to use the credit card for at least some of their trip expenses, 43 of which were planning to use that credit card and then pay it in full, but 26% were planning to carry a balance to pay it off over time. Yep. So, you know, on one hand, they could potentially be doing this to get some rewards points back. And if that's the case for those that are willing to pay off the balance, that's fine. It's, you know, kind of recognizing just another way to utilize their credit. But depending on what the interest rates are on their card and if they're planning to pay that off as a minimum payment, I mean, that could be a pretty expensive proposition. So, I mean, it's good that there's at least a plan in place, but you know, if you're having to finance it over time, is it really worth it? Is it really worth the spend? I don't know. That's something that people would really need to make that decision on their own, as long as they have a plan.
Agree.
All right. Well, now we have our product spotlight. And today's product spotlight is Affinity's Cashback Debit account. So if you're looking for a checking account, you can look no further than Affinity's Cashback Debit account, as it's the one for you. With so many different things going on during this busy time of the year, let Affinity help ease the stress. By opening a cashback debit account, you earn 1% cash back on up to $1,000 in debit card purchases per month, and the benefits are endless. You have no fees with e-statements, you have early pay with direct deposit, and you have member-to-member online banking transfers. You can visit affinityfcu.com/cashbackdebit, all one word, to learn more. All right. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. I think we definitely made some good headway on how to battle and tackle financial FOMO, how to protect yourself, how to go in with eyes wide open, and, you know, maybe maybe splurge every once in a while, right?
Absolutely.
You know, what are your closing thoughts for our audience today, Sean?
Yeah, one thing I will continue to just harp on through, you know, majority of the podcast episodes is we have some individuals in our branches and over the phone who really take pride in what they do as far as having conversations with our members, not giving cookie cutter solutions, right? We want to make sure we get to know you. We understand the ins and outs of your finances. We have certified financial well-being counselors who can sit down and really help you put that budget together or help you through a difficult situation, and ensure that your finances are in line to reduce some of that stress. So again, I encourage everyone that's listening, become a member. If you're not a member of Affinity already, we really are unlike other FIs out there. If you are a member, when's the last time you chatted with us? When's the last time you had your membership reviewed and made sure you're getting all the benefits that are available through Affinity? So again, can't speak highly enough about the front line here at Affinity, and I encourage everybody to interact with them as much as possible.
Great words of wisdom from my co-wombat. And, you know, I can't stress it enough. You know, just we say it all the time, just have a plan, be thoughtful, mm-hmm. be meaningful in your spending. If you need a second opinion, you know where to find us. But, you know, really just be thoughtful in how you spend your money and don't get caught up in the whirlwind of social media. So with that, I want to thank you all for joining us today. Just a reminder that if you have a question or comment for a future member mailbag segment, you can send it to us at AffinityFCU on Facebook or X/Twitter with the hashtag membermailbag. As always, we appreciate if you rate, like, and subscribe for more Wellbeing in Your Wallet podcast. You can visit AffinityFCU.com for additional information about financial well-being and Affinity products. And as always, thanks for listening and be well.